Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. We told you last week on the show when we were telling you about Lance Armstrong, the guy who fell from grace, the former American who was a hero when it came to bicyclists all over the world because he won seven Tour de France's.
Or Tours de France.
And even though nobody...
Think of it like this. Think of it like runs batted in. You wouldn't say run batted ins, so it's runs batted in, Tours de France.
He won seven Tours de France's.
But he's a...
And then
no,
he,
no.
And then he told people that that he didn't take any performance-enhancing drugs, that he wasn't on the dope, and that was a lie. He had good blood, he had bad blood, he had juiced-up blood, and he was shooting himself up with it, and he was stripped of all of his Tours de France titles.
Because he's a cheater!
Well, yeah, and then we told you last week how he just kind of got a break because he was being sued by everybody, and he could have owed $100 million, but they ended up cutting it down to $5 million that he owed people.
It's almost like he called one of those credit card agencies where they can help you get out of debt fast.
Yeah, and plus money isn't a big deal for him now because not even 10 years ago, he invested some money into Uber. I think the investment was, he invested $100,000 and it turned into literally $3 billion.
It just hurts me inside.
Yeah, and you know, he doesn't have to worry about working or drugs or anything anymore. Well, the reason I brought that up, because Uber only has one rival, and it's always been Uber and Lyft. No one has ever said, well, when it comes to ride sharing, Lyft and Uber. It's always been Uber and Lyft. And Lyft may surpass Uber because early next year, early in 2019, Lyft is going to go public, meaning you'll be able to trade. That company will be able to be traded on the stock exchange. And their co-founder, his name is John Zimmer. And I just read an interesting interview with him. This guy almost lost it all a few years ago, including his mind. He's only 34 now, but when he was in his mid to late 20s trying to get Lyft going, he almost lost it. He said just completely overwhelmed running a company of this size. But now they're set to challenge Uber and maybe surpass them. And the company has expanded into bicycles, scooters, and the big one, which you talk about, Brewster, a lot, which is the ultimate goal for both of these companies, self-driving cars. Lyft now is a company that has 4,500 employees. And I'm not talking about drivers. I'm talking about just people that go to work in offices that say Lyft on them.
Sure.
And it's just getting bigger, and they are set to pass Uber in the year 2019. And I'm sure Uber will be doing some things, everything in their power to make sure that that doesn't happen. But I thought it was neat. And as someone that loves ride sharing, I always say when we talk about stuff like this, how did we live without it? How did we live before Uber and Lyft?
Horse and buggy. That's basically how far back it goes.
But this is a pretty interesting story about how, you know, you look at this guy and you think, boy, he made it. Well, there were several times where he almost didn't make it. And I remember when the city of New Orleans fought to keep Uber and Lyft out of New Orleans. I remember that because the cab drivers and the people that were connected with them, nobody wanted Uber or Lyft. Brewster, as a matter of fact, I believe it's Plaquemines Parish where you can't get Uber because someone's pretty politically connected, and they're also really in with the cab drivers, and they're doing everything in their power
right
to keep Uber out of there, which sucks for everybody else because Uber and Lyft makes our lives easier.
I don't know if it was Orleans Parish. That was at a time before I followed it. And, of course, full disclosure, I drove Uber for, it's been 2 years ago now, before in between radio jobs, shall we say. So I know only about really that period. I drove during a time where Jefferson Parish was the dry parish, as it were. And I've told the story about picking up passengers at the airport, driving them through Jefferson Parish, where you couldn't at that time pick them up nor drop them off. There was a time where rogue drivers were doing that, or drivers were going rogue and doing that and picking up and dropping off in Jefferson Parish around the hotels there. And they were getting fined by, I'm not sure exactly what the entity was, whether it was code enforcement or something, but there were stories. And again, this was a couple of years ago, of drivers, predominantly Uber at that time, getting fines of up to $350 to $500 for dropping off in Jefferson Parish. They got that worked out. I told the story about how I don't know what the situation now is, but Uber drivers, if you were wanting to pick up fares at Armstrong Airport, you had to wait in the cell phone lot. And the cell phone lot became to be geo-fenced off. In other words, you have the driver app for Uber, and you drive into that lot, and it says, boom, okay, it timestamps internally in its program, and it says, okay, Brewster, it knows that you pulled in here, and it's a first-in, first-out thing, as with the cab driver. So it was a pecking order, but you might sit there, like on a slow day, you might sit there for 2 hours waiting for a fare, which Uber actually didn't want drivers to do. They want drivers to be moving constantly and have them all be identical. At that time, when I did it, the money was from the airport to downtown and vice versa. Have you ever used, do you use Uber Eats or whatever the version of that is with Lyft?
I haven't used those yet.
Because I only have one time we did that in San Francisco. We were tired. We were in the hotel, and we found a restaurant too far away to walk. And so we did that with Uber Eats. It seemed to work out okay.
Well, and now you see some of the drivers out there, they have both the Uber sign, right, and the Lyft sign in their car. And I'm
correct,
sure those companies aren't happy about that, but the drivers are out there just hustling, trying to make as much money as they possibly can.
Exactly.
But it's going to be interesting, even though Uber still has a big lead over Lyft when it comes to trips completed, 10 billion to 1 billion.
Wow.
Yeah, they're saying the year 2019 is that's going to change, because they say Lyft is doing all kinds of things, and it's because of their 34-year-old co-founder, this Zimmer character, who's
a ticking time bomb and may go off at any moment.
Yeah, hopefully this will all get done before he drops dead, because that almost happened a few times while he was building this company.
Yikes.
So, and good story if you could ever read up about it. Interesting stuff. And I'm a big fan of the rideshare service.
All I can say is, having driven, thank God for this job.
Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7. New Orleans only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. What's going on around New Orleans? Man arms himself with chair, robs fast food restaurant. New Orleans police reported a stabbing in a different incident and a couple of armed robberies on Monday, right in the middle of the day, too, including one armed robbery in which a man armed himself with a chair and he held up a fast food restaurant. Look, I've lived in New Orleans now for going on 11 years, and we see people get shot every day in this city. We see armed robberies every day in this city. And usually it's with a gun, sometimes a knife. This is the first time I've ever seen a story of an armed robbery where the perp was armed with a chair. This man entered Burger King, the 4,000 block of Tulane Avenue, Monday afternoon, around 2:30. He armed himself with a chair, and he went behind the counter. The man raised the chair, then threatened employees and demanded food. Here's what's interesting.
I have questions, but go ahead.
Well, I do too, because I thought he would have walked into the Burger King with his weapon, with the chair. But from what I see here, he grabbed the chair from inside the Burger King. Now, most fast food restaurants that I've been to, you can't just pull a chair off the ground. Aren't most chairs in fast food restaurants, aren't they pretty much, aren't they secured to the ground?
You're thinking of the booths. Now, the booths are bolted to the ground.
Even the chairs where you sit down and you can spin in them. I don't know how many.
I don't dine often in the 4,000 block of Tulane Avenue, so I can't speak to that. But
I don't know what you're missing.
Apparently not. But that was question number one on my part. Was it a Burger King chair, or did he bring in an outside chair, a civilian chair?
It wasn't a BYOC, bring your own chair, because it said once he got into the door, that's when he armed himself with the chair. But the next time you go into a fast food restaurant, see if you can go pick up a chair. I'm serious. Most of them, you could spin them, but they're pretty much secured to the ground, unless I'm crazy. Anyways, and the other thing that's interesting about this robbery, refreshing, he didn't demand money. He demanded food. So he went behind the counter with the chair and said, give me some food. And you know what? The employees complied.
They said, sir, please take a seat and we'll get you some food right away.
I wonder if they said, do you want medium or large? Because usually when you go to a place like Burger King, if you say, give me a number three or a number two, they'll then say medium or large. And they're talking about your fries and your drink.
Right. I don't know.
The suspect ran away, but he was captured a few minutes later on the corner of South Broad Street and South Cleveland Avenue. And he was arrested. He's 35-year-old Stephen Oliver. And I'm looking at his mugshot, and he's looking away from the camera. His mouth is open as if he's screaming at someone, or maybe he's digesting the Burger King meal that he just stole. And I would say I'm looking at his mugshot, and he looks crazy, but you got to be careful. Mental illness is nothing to joke about. Even this guy looks like a Looney Tune. Did this guy?
No, you can't say that.
Well, what would you say someone who robs a Burger King, who goes into a Burger King, takes one of their chairs, then goes behind the counter, threatens people with the chair if he's not given food?
Do I think he's possibly
something mentally askew?
A couple of jokers short of an entire deck.
Hey.
Now, that was insensitive on my part.
We talked about it yesterday. We live in a time now where you can't see someone who looks crazy and say, boy, the guy's a nut. The guy's crazy. Hey, watch what you say.
But here's my next question.
About mental illness.
When he was apprehended by authorities at, how far did he get? South Galvez? No, South
Broad.
Okay.
From Tulane. That's not that far.
Did he have the weapon with him, or had he ditched it like in a dumpster? The weapon being a chair.
I think he was sitting in his weapon eating his lunch.
When they caught him?
When they caught him, yeah.
Oh, so he really took it to go.
Yeah.
All right.
Where
does the chair figure into all this?
It's the weapon.
Think about it. Armed robbery, to be the weapon.
Armed robbery is different than robbery. If you or I walked in and said, hey, I'm hungry, feed me, and we walked behind and all we had was our fists, that's different than arming yourself. And we're going to find out how different Because I'm sure it's different if you arm yourself with a gun, arm yourself with a knife, or arm yourself with a chair. It's still a weapon. You know, somebody hits you over the head with a chair, that could hurt. That could leave a bruise, give you a concussion. See what's going on right now in the NFL. You know, usually when I look at the mugshots, they usually have the same look on their face. Yeah, what do you want from me? I did dot, 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 fill in the blank. Yeah, what do you want from me? I'm the one who broke into Burger King. I was hungry. I grabbed the chair. I went behind the counter, and I said, give me some food. But like I said, this guy isn't even Stephen Oliver. He's nowhere near looking into the camera for the mugshot. It looks like maybe someone took his Whopper. Maybe the Whopper that he stole, someone stole, and he's yelling at the person. And it seems as if with mugshots, you only get one shot. And I'm speaking for not only the perp, but the police.
Right. They don't really.
They could have taken a second one here, but maybe there's not a lot of funds.
I don't think they do that, yeah. I don't think you get a chance to, oftentimes when you'll take a selfie or you'll be in a picture with friends, be like, hey, can I look at that before you put it all over social media? I don't think that happens at the Justice Center.
No. The Orleans Parish Prison 2.0, or like you called it, the Justice Center.
He's definitely looking to his left. His eyebrows are raised, which could speak possibly to his demeanor, but his mouth might be saying cheese. You know, you take a picture,
he
say
is
cheese,
saying cheese, but he,
or he could be saying chair.
It could be the way. I think you're right with the cheese, because he had cheese on his Whopper that he stole.
And possibly spilled some under the chair.
Hmm. Well, there you go. A unique armed robbery. You don't see that every day, where the perp is armed with a chair. And I bet you there's really not much of a difference, because you can hurt someone with a chair, whether you arm yourself with a chair or a knife or... Well, we'll see what happens. But the good news for this guy, Stephen Oliver, is he's not going to have to worry about where his next meal is going to come from, or the one after that, or the one after that, at least for a few days.
Right.
Because if you're robbing Burger King for a number two, chances are you don't have the money for bail to get yourself out.
For him, it's going to be three hots in a cot for at least for a while.
Coming up on the show, did you see any of yesterday's shenanigans in Washington, D.C.? The CEO of Google was being questioned by congressmen, I think a few senators as well. And I'm just going to give you a hint. One of the congressmen that was interrogating the CEO of Google, remember, you're talking about the CEO of a gazillion-dollar company who his brain is so far ahead when it comes to technology and than any of the congresspeople asking him questions. One of the guys who was grilling him yesterday, Georgia Congressman Hank Johnson.
I know where this is going.
Yeah, he's
awesome. Awesome.
You'll understand. This right. is the last guy in the world that should have been asking this mastermind any questions. We'll explain coming up on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Bruce, are we having a Christmas party, a company Christmas party? Because it's Christmas time, and over the next week or so, that's when a lot of offices, the office Christmas party. Are we having one?
We're having a holiday gathering, ixnay on the Isthmus Cray. You have to say holiday.
No.
Holiday
no,
gathering.
I'm sorry.
You can't even say party.
I'm sorry.
Because that portends to... drinking and carousing, so no, just be a gathering.
I'm calling it the Christmas party, and if anyone is offended, then it's your fault for being offended. It's not my fault. Anyways, according to a new poll,
you weren't invited, by the way.
One in 10 employees have started a relationship at their office Christmas party, and of those, 25% said that's how they met their spouse. The other 75% said that's how they lost their spouse. Crazy Christmas parties.
Right there on top of the photocopier.
Coming up on the show, one of the brightest men in the world, the CEO of Google, yesterday was being questioned by some members of Congress. And
he goes head-to-head with his diametric opposite.
Not just him. A few of them were holding up iPhones. And the guy from Google said, we don't make iPhones. Stay tuned. That's coming up on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. There was a grilling of Google CEO Sundar Pichai. And some of our members of Congress, they wanted to ask him some questions. There were some congressmen and some senators that were asking the Google CEO questions. Now, the people, the conservative lawmakers, they were upset pretty much over one thing. How, if you go to Google, Google leans so politically left that a lot of times you can't find some things if you Google some things. And Sundar Pichai, the CEO of Google, said, well, that's really not true. And then Democrats were going at him for other things. And he was telling them that, well, that's really not true. And you got to understand how big Google is. Google, over 90% of internet searches on the planet, on Earth, over 90% of them are Google searches. Even if people don't start out searching with Google, during their search, they will eventually find their way to Google because Google's so big. That's how they are. And you're talking about a brilliant guy, the CEO of a company of Google that is so technologically advanced that most of these people, the congressmen, senators, I don't want to say they're stupid compared to him, but they pretty much are stupid compared to the CEO of Google. And some of these congressmen who are interrogating him, I just sat there yesterday and I scratched my head. You know who one of the congressmen interrogating the CEO of Google was yesterday? Georgia Congressman Hank Johnson.
My fear is that the whole island will become so overly populated that it will tip over and capsize.
That's the same Hank Johnson who thought if we put too many soldiers on Guam.
And military apparatus.
Yeah, equipment.
Right.
That Guam would tip over as an island. So Hank Johnson, I mean, arguably, and this is no offense or anything, well, but arguably the dumbest man in Congress.
I don't regard. I mean, we've been using that clip for some time. That was is that 10 years old? It's
almost
it's somewhere in that ballpark. I, on the description here, I don't recall ever having seen this. It says that he claims he was at that time being treated for hepatitis C, and it was causing his mind to say strange things.
What would you say if you just said the dumbest thing that any sitting United States politician has ever said?
Well, he said his medication was causing it, and that he was speaking sort of metaphorically. He claims he didn't actually mean that Guam would tip over, despite the fact that he said his concern was that Guam would tip over and capsize.
And here's the other thing. He's had a few elections since he has said that. And the people of Atlanta, they don't care how dumb he is. They just keep voting for him to send him back there. So Hank Johnson is interrogating the CEO of Google yesterday. And if I'm the CEO of Google, I would have said, excuse me, before you ask your next ridiculous question, aren't you the same Hank Johnson, congressman from Georgia, Atlanta, Georgia, who wondered if Guam would tip over if we put too many boots on the ground, too many maybe tanks, military equipment?
My fear is that the whole island will become so overly populated that it will tip over and capsize.
Because whatever question you're about to ask me, it's probably ridiculous. And yesterday it was a House Judiciary Committee hearing.
That's a good time, right?
It's much like whether it's the Senate Judiciary Committee, which we saw with Brett Kavanaugh, the Supreme Court Justice, that mess. And now yesterday, the House Judiciary Committee hearing. And then you had a couple of congressmen holding up their iPhones saying, well, my grandchildren, you know, and they're holding up their iPhones, and when they go to Google, you know, this happens. My God. and the CEO of Google said, that's not our company. iPhones are made, it's their own different company.
Right. And they all looked at him as if he had three eyes. Because they don't, I don't believe they grasp.
They don't understand. That. They don't. It's kind of like when they were grilling Mark Zuckerberg from Facebook.
Right.
But some of them, they had no idea. I mean, you're talking about some people that are in their 70s and their 80s. And you know, if you're in your 70s or your 80s, how cognizant are you going to be of high-tech technology and sitting there questioning the CEO of one of the most amazing inventions that ever happened? That being Google, and then look what has come from the Google search engine. Everything else that Google now has.
So will Sundar Pichai be able to pitch in and use his company's brain trust to keep Guam from tipping over? Did they ever solve that yesterday?
I didn't stay for the end. Because after Hank Johnson's question and Sundar Pichai's, I said, that's as much... I can't watch this charade anymore. I can't watch this. Coming up on the show, the migrants from the caravan, you know, they've been marching for a couple of months from their third world countries, Central America. Well, they've made demands. Yesterday, they officially made demands of what they want when they're at the Tijuana-San Diego border. We'll tell you about that coming up. It's ridiculous. It's almost as dumb as Georgia Congressman Hank Johnson. On Bayou 95.7. The classic rock of New Orleans, Bayou 95.7. Coming up next, we look at today in history. We call the segment Why Today Doesn't Suck. Suck is next. We hope you'll stick around for that report on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. Let's look at today in history. And on this radio show, we call the segment.
Hang on. Please stand by. We're experiencing technical difficulties.
Making sure this microphone works.
We call the segment.
Why today doesn't suck.
The showing off voice guys again.
December 12th. 12-12. It was today in 1980.
Why today doesn't suck.
Da Vinci Notebook sells for over $5 million. Today in 1980, American oil tycoon Armin Hammer. Wait a minute. He's an oil tycoon as well? I know that Armin Hammer is a baking soda tycoon. Yes. But
his name is Armand. And the baking soda would be Arm and... It'd be two different things there. But I see your confusion, and I'll raise you $50.
He paid $5,126,000 at auction for a notebook containing writings by the legendary artist Leonardo da Vinci. The manuscript, written around in the year 1508. Can you imagine what that notebook must have looked like? How are they making notebooks in 1508? I know it didn't. The notebook didn't have the wire in the three holes that go down the side, and
it wasn't bound as they are today.
Yeah,
see what maybe that was. I don't know. You know, did it have like sheepskin or? And how do you? My first question would be, I want to see the letter of authenticity, but it's. Did they have typewriters back then? I don't think so.
Well, anyways.
In other words, how do you prove that that was Da Vinci's notebook?
Yeah, I just want to know what a notebook made around the year 1508 looks like.
If you had that kind of money, would you put it on the line not knowing whether or not it was actually his? I mean, how do they prove that?
Well, Arm & Hammer's no dummy. If he's going to pay over $5 million for this notebook from 1508 that had... the manuscript of Da Vinci and some 30 similar books that Da Vinci produced.
Right.
Contained about 72 loose pages.
Well,
see, okay, that explains the notebook a little bit more. 72 loose pages. I think the pages were looser in the notebooks that were made in 1508 compared to today.
I guess if you're an Arm & Hammer, you just have money to bind.
And then, of course, the Da Vinci Code, the movies that came since then, and interesting stuff. December 12th, got a couple of Rolling Stones things happen today. Although the Rolling Stones have been around for so long that I think every day we do Why Today Doesn't Suck, something probably happened.
We could do Why Today Doesn't Suck for the Stones.
Yeah.
Just a separate, we'll talk about that after the show.
This is really cool. In the town, in the year 2008.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
The town where both Mick Jagger and Keith Richards grew up, because they grew up in the same town. That town announced it was going to name a bunch of streets after Rolling Stones hit songs.
Okay.
I guess they were building a new subdivision and they were building a new part of the neighborhood in the town. The town, do you know the town?
I'm racking my brain trying to think. It's not Birmingham.
No.
It's not Liverpool.
No.
It's
Dartford, Kent.
Yeah, okay.
And 13 new streets were named today in 2008. Angie Muse is one of the streets.
Okay.
Sympathy Street.
All right.
Little Red Walk.
Okay.
Satisfaction Street.
There you go.
How about that? 13 streets today in the town where Mick Jagger and Keith Richards grew up were named after Rolling Stones hits.
Very nice.
And that happened, 10 years ago today.
What's your second Stones item there?
Well, 5 years before that, today in 2003.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
The then 60-year-old Mick Jagger was knighted by Prince Charles, and that was a little bit controversial. Guy with his background, and all of a sudden you're going to call him Sir?
Well, I saw that as well, and no one ever calls him Sir Mick Jagger like they do Sir Paul McCartney or
Sir Elton John.
Right. You never hear that. I wonder why that is.
Maybe.
In fact, when I saw this, I thought it was a typo. I didn't know that Mick Jagger had been knighted.
Didn't he say he didn't want to be
I didn't know that he had been, so I couldn't answer that question.
Because for most of their lives, they kind of made fun of the leaders over there, at least royalty leaders, and like that.
We shall research that.
I thought that was interesting.
I've got a little Stones trivia here, I guess. It was on this date, December 12th, in 1974.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
After being in the group for 5.5 years, Mick Taylor announces his departure from the aforementioned Rolling Stones.
The Rolling Stones, other Mick.
Right. And I guess that would be where Ron Wood joined and was much more prominent. Would that be correct?
Yeah, because there's only been three other guitar players to stand alongside Keith Richards, and that would be Brian Jones.
Right.
And that would be Mick Taylor, and then Ronnie Wood, who is there today.
It was on this date
December 12, 2001.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Nirvana bandmates Dave Grohl and Chris, or as he calls himself, Chris Novoselic, and it's actually Novoselic, filed a countersuit against Courtney Love involving future releases of Nirvana material. The suit was in response to a Love suit she had filed earlier in the year claiming Nirvana's contract with the Universal Music Group was null and void, and that all rights pertaining to Nirvana would revert to her.
Isn't that something? Who do you think deserved more of the Nirvana royalties? The two remaining members of Nirvana or Courtney Skank?
I vote
and her daughter.
Frances Bean.
She got a lot of that money.
I vote in favor of, I'm not sure. I have to do more research and study the case law surrounding this particular piece of jurisprudence. It was on this date, December 12th, 1970.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
You know this one. What band performed their final concert with their original lineup here at the now-defunct Warehouse in New Orleans?
What year?
1970.
I know this one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the last night Jim Morrison ever sang with the other three Doors.
Correct.
And it was as bad a show. He was messed up. I guess the first song came out okay, and they started doing it, and then he just sat down and started babbling incoherently.
Hmm. That's the, what do they call it? The Lizard King for you. Is that what they call him?
Yeah.
The Lizard King?
Yeah, that was his nickname.
A birthday today. Boy, this will make you feel older. It made me feel old. Born on this date in 1943.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Happy birthday to Dickie Betts, guitar wizard of the Allman Brothers Band. 75 years old today.
You know, I just hold that thought. Okay. Happy birthday, Dickie.
Right.
It's just so cool, and I always like to say we learn something on the show. The last time Jim Morrison played with the Doors was on Chapultepec Street.
Right.
I mean, out of anywhere in the world. Think about that.
Right. And happy birthday, Dickie Betts. No, he said that already.
Mm. Yeah. December 12th. It was today in 2000.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
General Motors announces their phase-out of Oldsmobile. They declared that it will begin to phase out the 103-year-old Oldsmobile, the oldest automotive brand in the United States. Well, that's maybe one of the reasons it was called Oldsmobile, because it was old, O-L-D.
That was actually the founder's name, O-L-D-S, Olds.
But... yeah, Oldsmobile had once been one of the most venerable and innovative American brands. And...
I'm sad to see things like that happen.
Well, you're old school.
And I am Oldsmobile
old
school.
Old school.
Exactly right.
December 12th.
I mean, you talk about the 455 engine that was in those long and sleek Oldsmobiles. They would put the police to shame, shall we say. But I hated to see the loss of the great nameplate brands of General Motors, Oldsmobile, Pontiac.
Yeah.
They still have a few Buicks that they make, but General Motors to me was GMC, Buick, Chevy, Cadillac, Pontiac, Oldsmobile. It's just sad. It's a time that will never come back. At one time in this country, there were hundreds of different auto brands under the various makers. And at one time, there were like 100 auto manufacturers alone in the city of Indianapolis.
Well, times change. And back then, when all of those brands were doing well, I bet you could have turned on your radio around Christmas time and heard the song, Baby, It's Cold Outside.
There you go.
Now that song is deemed sexist and radio stations aren't playing it.
It has nothing to do with Oldsmobile.
Well, I'm just saying how times change.
No, I get it.
I got two more.
All right.
Today in 1901...
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Italian physicist Guglielmo Marconi sends the first Atlantic wireless transmission.
Yes.
I mean, the guy gets credit for inventing the radio, although Nikola Tesla had something to do with that, and he kind of got the screws. Everybody talks about Marconi when it comes to inventing this great thing. And finally, December 12th.
Why Today Doesn't...
Sorry.
It was today in 1917.
Why today doesn't suck.
Father Edward J. Flanagan, a 31-year-old Irish priest, establishes Boys Town in Omaha, Nebraska. And that's where Father Flanagan, the guy's a hero. He took a lot of boys that had bad parents or no parents at all, and that movie was on Turner Classic Movies again the other night. And you know who played him? Spencer Tracy.
I just can't believe that the man that they chose to play the priest that started Boys Town, they picked a gay actor Spencer Tracy.
He might have fooled around with some guys, but he was married. Gay. And he did sex with Katharine Hepburn for like 30 years,
I'm
too.
I'm going to vomit.
Boys Town. That was something. And it's a good movie if you ever get a chance to see
it. Who's more manly, Spencer Tracy or Katharine Hepburn?
Well, that's a tough question.
Tweet us at @Bayou957.
That's a fair question.
And that's a segment that we call, do we want one or both of these guys? I guess both.
Why today doesn't suck.
You might as well finish it the way you started it. Hey, coming up on the show, we're going to tell you what these migrants who were part of the caravan from the Central American countries that are marching towards our southern border, they made demands yesterday as they were at the border of San Diego and Tijuana, Mexico. When do you hear what their demands are? That's coming up on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Yesterday, Kathy Lee Gifford announced that she is leaving the Today Show. She hosts the 12th or 13th hour
ninth,
of the Today Show?
The ninth hour.
According to Radar Online, NBC is looking for a younger host to replace Kathy Lee Gifford. In fact, the network is already in talks with Angie Dickinson and Betty White.
I have something to share with everybody, and it's bittersweet, as these things always are, but I've been here almost 11 years, thought I would stay 1 year. Something happened along the way, fell in love with a beautiful Egyptian goddess. And now, when it's our 11th anniversary, I'm going to be leaving the Today Show.
Yeah, mark your calendar. She's not leaving until April of next year.
She's been famous in this country since the mid-70s.
Right.
Since she was really, really young. And
I asked Mrs. Brewster as they were doing, it was almost like she had died. They were doing, not Mrs. Brewster, but Kathy Lee Gifford on one of those shows last night where she was, and I asked Mrs. Brewster, you remember when Kathy Lee Gifford was on Name That Tune? And she was very young. She was like in her early 20s.
Yeah.
And she was quite religious. When she started out, Kathy Lee Gifford was very religious.
Mm.
But she would be the, on Name That Tune, she would... she would be the singer instead of playing, at one time they had the show where they just played, notes of a song by the band, but I guess she, was added and then would sing, you know, part of the song. Name That Tune. You know how Name That Tune works.
Yeah, the good old days.
Yeah. Do you remember that when she was on that show?
That's pretty much how she came to prominence.
Right. But did you remember that?
A little bit before my time.
Oh, okay. What, are you calling me old?
Well, I just wonder who's going to sit next to the woman now with all those New Orleans roots, Hoda Kotb.
The Egyptian goddess, as Kathy Lee just called her?
Never thought of Hoda Kotb that way. I'm going to look into that more. Coming up on the show next, we're going to talk about this. The migrant group, the caravan that's been marching towards our border from the third world Central American countries. They're making demands now to our president. You believe these people? They're demanding things from America. Stay tuned. We'll tell you what next on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. Before I get to this next story, there's a couple of birthdays today that we didn't get to during our segment, Why Today Doesn't Suck. So I guess this would be bonus suck.
Bonus.
Happy birthday to Bob Barker. He's still alive.
Yes.
Now, how old does your sheet say he is?
He's 95.
Mine says he's 109. I guess it's a misprint.
But a little too much ink on your page.
Obviously, he became famous hosting the game show The Price is Right, and he's still doing all right for himself, Bob Barker.
He's getting more, I don't know if I can say that word.
I think he's doing better with the women than Frank Sinatra. It's funny you say Frank Sinatra, because if he were still alive today, Frank Sinatra would be celebrating a birthday. Did you know Frank Sinatra and Bob Barker were born on the same day today, December 12th?
Happy heavenly birthday. Well, maybe. I don't know. Frank, I don't know.
When I lived in Miami, Brewster.
I've heard things.
When I went into this restaurant once that's been there, and it's been open since like the 30s, and there's a picture of Frank Sinatra sitting right at the counter eating there. And I think when I went in there, this is a few years ago, but one of the waitresses was so old, I think she actually served Frank Sinatra when he went into that restaurant. And evidently, I asked her what he was like, and she said he ordered a bowl of chicken noodle soup, but he wasn't happy with the amount of chicken in the soup. And he said, hey, I didn't order noodle soup. Where's the chicken? Tuts, hey, Tuts, get over here. I want more chicken. That she was saying that's how Frank Sinatra was. And I guess it was a time and a place where you could, I guess, call female waitresses Toots and get away with it.
And that's your bonus suck.
It's boner. Boner.
Thanks, John.
Bonus suck. So if you've been paying attention to the news, and we've talked about this a few times on our show, over the last month or so, we've been watching this group of immigrants march from their third world crap hole countries, Central America countries, and they've been marching right towards the United States Mexican border.
Did you see the meme the other day? It started going around mentioning why they didn't just like go up through Brownsville, Texas.
Yeah, it would have been a lot shorter
right.
for them.
They're going all the way to California.
You know, especially the senior citizens, the women, the pregnant women, the children with no shoes.
Right.
And again, I've seen more cameras and lights and minivans during this attempted illegal border crossing than I've ever seen before. Because as we said on the show before when we talked about this, usually when people are trying to enter our country illegally, cameras aren't involved. 9-month pregnant women aren't involved. 78-year-old grandmothers aren't involved. And shoeless children aren't involved. They wanted to get as much media attention as they possibly could. And the other frustrating part about this group, why are they holding flags from their home countries that they're leaving? You know, if they're that proud of their country, Honduras or whatever Central America slum country they're coming from, third world crap hole country, why don't they stay there if they're so proud of that country? And why are you bringing your country's flag to our country? We have a flag. Well, anyways, yesterday, a bunch of these migrants in the caravan, or invaders, however you want to call them, they're at the San Diego, California, Mexico border there, Tijuana.
Oh, it's nice there this time of year.
I've been. I'll never forget when I first crossed over to Tijuana from San Diego. There were a bunch of shirtless young children standing there with their palms out, asking for money.
Are you talking about the Claiborne overpass down here? That happens there too.
It's a lot like that, actually. Mm. So yesterday, the migrant people took to the microphones as they were standing at the San Diego Tijuana border, and they demanded that President Donald Trump either let them in or pay each of them $50,000. And if they paid each of them $50,000, they would all turn around and start heading back to their third world hellhole countries. Can you believe that? A couple of groups of Central American immigrants or migrants, wannabe immigrants, they marched over to the United States Consulate in Tijuana, Mexico, yesterday, and they had a list of demands. I mean, people that are set to break the law are demanding things. And then one of the groups delivered that ultimatum to the President of the United States, Donald Trump, and his administration, either let them into the United States or pay them $50,000 each to go home.
Go to hell.
You know, they must have saw that contract. Who just got the baseball player, Troy Tulowitzki, had $38 million left on his contract with the Toronto Blue Jays, and he wouldn't switch positions, so Toronto just said, leave. And they're paying him $38 million not to play baseball. I bet you some of these migrants, these people in the caravan, I bet you some of them, because they all have cell phones, they all have their smartphones, I bet you some of them saw some of that and said, wait a minute, in America, you can get paid to not do something.
Right.
So just pay us, and we'll turn around, and we'll make our ways back to our third world crappy country.
And some of them aren't bad infielders when you get right down to it.
So that's the latest from over there, but this all, it's a dog and pony show. It's for the cameras. It's to get at the hearts of about half of this country. I don't think it's half of this country. Maybe not quite half of this country that say, leave these people alone. Let them do what they want to do. But we just can't have thousands of illegals just show up here one day. And there's a way to come into our country. And our country, yeah, immigrants are a big part of our country, but you do it legally.
I wonder how many miles out of the way it is that they went. Is it Brownsville that they should have gone there? Galveston? I saw a map, and it's like, it would be like, I think a couple thousand miles out of
Dude, it's, imagine the entire state of Texas,
right.
Plus Arizona, right. Plus Southern California.
Right.
They could have cut all of that off if they just stayed east and went straight. Go look at the map, and they could have crossed the border in eastern Texas. No, but they wanted to draw this out. They wanted the drama. They wanted the children with no shoes to be seen on American news television. They wanted the 80-something-year-old grandmothers to be seen. Something, how these people can walk 2,000 miles. It's incredible. Well, that's what they want. They either want in or they want money. So I don't think they're going to get any. Stay tuned as we'll continue to follow these people and what's going to happen with them. All right, coming up next on the show, yesterday, we were talking about a local news story, and news broke right as we talked about it. It was incredible. We'll give you the details coming up next on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Interesting couple of names back-to-back in that song right there. It's The End of the World as We Know It by R.E.M. He says Lenny Bruce and Lester Bangs. Lenny Bruce, groundbreaking stand-up comic, drug addict, who the cops made look really bad when he died. They put the picture of his death scene on, they released it to the media, and there he was on the toilet with a needle sticking out of his arm. It was awful. But Lester Bangs was a rock and roll critic, a music critic for Rolling Stone magazine way back in the day, and he was portrayed on the big screen in the movie Almost Famous by the late, great Philip Seymour Hoffman. What a fantastic performance and a fantastic movie. One of my favorites. If you've never seen that movie before, Almost Famous, I say Netflix it yesterday. Coming up next, we're going to tell you about a great capture by local authorities during our show yesterday morning on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, Ann Lamarck Ford. So yesterday, right around this time of the show, maybe it was a few minutes earlier, I just started to give you an update on a scary story from around here. Because on Sunday night, and we talked about it, the Jefferson Parish Sheriff's officers were called out to a hotel on Veterans in Metairie because there was some sort of a domestic abuse call. And when the cops showed up, they got the guy out of the hotel room. And the guy, 38-year-old Tyrone Lewis, he wasn't cuffed yet, but he was removed from the hotel room. And as the cops were walking with him out of the hotel on Veterans in Metairie, he had a gun on him. And he pulled his gun out and just started shooting at the cops, and he hit one of the cops, Charlie Haslip, a couple of times. Charlie Haslip has a wife and two young children, one very young child. He was shot twice. He's going to survive. He's going to be okay. And so I was just about ready to tell you, you know, be careful, because if this lunatic is going to shoot at cops, he'll shoot at you and me with no problem. And
right.
just as we were saying that, Brewster jumped in.
Well, as I often do on the show, and we're on different sides of, we face each other, but our computers don't. Computers are back to back. So I was just putting in his name and just details in Google. And sure enough, one of the local TV stations, I believe, or some local media in the previous 7 minutes had posted that he had been apprehended, and then later it turned out that it was over at the bus station.
Yeah, Doc, I was wondering where does this guy go? He had a bus ticket, and that was he was going to leave town for the first thing yesterday morning, and the authorities were tipped off. Somebody called them and said, "Hey, the guy that shot the cop. We know that he's got a bus ticket to leave town leave New Orleans from the bus station in New Orleans first thing on Tuesday morning." And sure enough, the cops got there a few hours before he did.
Right.
They set up, and as he was walking into the bus station, they got him, and they got him without incident. And this guy had a couple of outstanding warrants for shooting people before. He's a felon in possession of a gun. He will spend the rest of his life in a cage. Which he should. Think about the mindset of a human being who shoots at police officers. I mean, think about that. So great work by the Jefferson Parish Sheriff's Office. And also New Orleans police, they helped out. And federal authorities as well. And so that a good ending to that story. Hey, you know what I saw last night on ESPN? They did another one of those 30 for 30s, and I've said it on this show before. Even if you're not a sports fan, I highly recommend you watch ESPN 30 for 30 documentaries, because every one of them transcends sports. You don't even have to be a big sports fan. And the way they are done, the way they are made, they're incredible. There's a lot more than 30 of them now. They called it 30 for 30 when they debuted it a couple of years ago when it was the 30th year of ESPN. But now there's a lot more than 30 of them. And last night they showed one. They debuted one that they called 42 to 1. Those were the odds. And the 30 for 30 documentary was about Buster Douglas, the heavyweight boxer, the night that he beat Mike Tyson. And why? And they called it 42 to 1 because those were the odds in Las Vegas. And I don't know if one human being bet on Buster Douglas. There were a lot of people betting $1, betting $42 to make $1. There was hardly anybody who said, "Let me throw $100 on Buster Douglas." They would have won $4,200. But that documentary was so good, like every other ESPN 30 for 30. And not only did they show the documentary, but after they showed it, they then showed the fight, the entire fight, Buster Douglas, and he beat the crap out of Mike Tyson that night in Tokyo, Japan. And I remember where I was that night. It was my first radio job, WCCC in Hartford. I remember the bar I was in. It was a bar called the Russian Lady. And I remember people saying, "Hey, Mike Tyson got beat." Nobody believed anybody because he was undefeated before that fight. And Mike, I think he was 32-0 when he fought Buster Douglas. And Mike Tyson, he wasn't just beating people. He was almost killing people. In his prime, look, from what I saw, the greatest fighter I ever saw, greatest boxer I ever saw. And I know there was a lot of boxers before my time. You know, Sugar Ray Robinson, people say, "Oh, that guy was the great." You know, you had Rocky Marciano and Rocky Graziano and... And, you know, you can go on. But as far as my lifetime, Mike Tyson was the greatest fighter, boxer that I ever saw. Brewster, you would agree with that in your lifetime, right? In his prime?
Most, in his weight class, single most devastating, was one punch for one punch, single most devastating fighter.
Again, he didn't
in his weight class.
He didn't just beat people and knock them out. He almost killed them. And he could tell that the fighters were scared the second the fight started when he looked in their eyes. And but the Buster Douglas fight,
which, by the way, was February 11th, 1990.
Yeah. And Buster Douglas, and when they showed the fight, when the referee brings them together before they fight and he gives them the rules, Tyson didn't look at him in the eyes like he did every other fighter. And that was right around the time where things were happening in Mike Tyson's personal life. His wife, Robin Givens, the actress, she was filing for divorce. And he had a lot of things going on in his life. And he wasn't able to focus and put all of that stuff out and get in the ring with Buster Douglas. And, I mean, Buster Douglas, it wasn't lucky. He beat him every round. I mean, he beat him the first round. He beat him the second round. They got to the eighth round. And the broadcasters, the guys that were calling the fight, said, I don't have Mike Tyson winning one round yet of this fight. And then they got to the ninth round, and it looked like Tyson finally got him. It looked like he finally got him because he knocked Buster Douglas down, and Buster Douglas was down. He got up right as the ref said 10. And some people said it was 12 and a half seconds. The refs paused in between a couple of numbers when he was counting from 1 to 10. While Buster Douglas was down, Buster Douglas got up right at 10. And then, ding, 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 the ring ended. Because he was out on his feet. He got up, and he needed those 2 minutes in between those rounds to get his composure together to come back out. And then Tyson came at him like crazy in the 10th round. But Buster Douglas fended him off, and then he knocked him out. And when he knocked him out, it was the first time in Mike Tyson's professional career that he had ever been knocked to the ground. And, Buster Douglas, his father was a great fighter, but his father and everybody else always said that Buster Douglas didn't have the killer instinct. He had the physical tools, but he didn't have the mental makeup. He didn't have the killer instinct. He would let himself get fat and out of shape before, in between fights. But he said when he got the Tyson fight, he realized it was his last chance, and he trained like crazy. He said, now I've got the – his mother died 20 days before the Tyson fight. And his mother was in good shape. She just had a stroke and died. So his people said, do you want to postpone the fight? He goes, no, I've been training for this. This is what I'm going to do. My mother wanted me to do this. And, boy, he beat him in And again, you're talking about the greatest fighter that I ever saw in my life. Brewster, do you think, because I think boxing can make a comeback, and there's one way boxing can make a comeback, and I know you're a big boxing fan. And you're
a huge boxing fan.
Could they ever make boxing like they make the other sports? There's an NFL, there's an NBA. Could boxing... It would have to be, now you're talking about there would be more rules and it would be regulated more.
Do you mean like a unified league?
Yes.
And
you have in each division, lightweight, light heavyweight, heavyweight, middleweight. You have, your top 10 contenders and you have your champion.
The way to fix boxing, and it's never going to happen because there for too long have been too many irons in the fire, too many thumbs in the soup. You have to have unified champions. You have to have a unified belt. You can't have, I mean, like at any given time, there's multiple heavyweight champions of the world. No one, you can't understand it. It's not marketed well. It's not politically correct to have two guys in the ring beating each other. MMA has greatly supplanted boxing for that type of competition in the ring, and I don't ever see boxing coming out of its niche status in this country, and it's really a shame.
I think the only way it can is if there was a boxing league like the NFL, like the NBA, like Major League Baseball,
possibly. But you've got to figure out the multiple belt situation first. You know more about sports betting than I do, so here is one of the tidbits from the 42-1 Buster Douglas and Mike Tyson. All sports books offered odds on when Tyson would knock out Douglas, but only one, the Mirage Hotel,
yep,
in Las Vegas, offered bettors the chance to bet on Tyson or Douglas straight up. Jimmy Vaccaro, who was the head bookmaker at the time, said, quote, "We were booking Tyson fights, and as he continued to crush people, the underdogs were going from 6-1 to 8-1. At some point, it's like, what's the point in offering it anymore? Who would offer a money line on?" Yeah, I don't. He makes a different sport reference. I'm not sure what that's about. But who would bet if they're a 65-point underdog? The most popular bet across Vegas was for Tyson to dump Douglas and end the fight in either round two or round three. And it went to how many rounds? It went
a tenth round is when Douglas knocked him out. And what's interesting, Vaccaro was featured last night in that documentary.
Right.
And he said, not only will you never see another fight at 42-1 again, he goes, I'll give you 50-1 right now if you do see a fight at 42-1 again. I mean, that's how much he was supposed to kill him. And then, look, I don't want to give any spoilers because I wondered what Buster Douglas is up to these days. I had no idea. Well, he made a good money with the Tyson fight, but he made a ton of money with his next fight that he lost to Evander Holyfield. Because when Tyson lost to Buster Douglas, he was the unified champ. There was three different heavyweight belts. And then Buster Douglas became the unified champ. And then his next fight, 8 months later, he got destroyed by Evander Holyfield. But he made $20-something million. And he's back in his hometown of Columbus, Ohio. He trains young children how to box. And he trains them in the very gym that his father, who was a professional boxer, trained him to fight in.
Little tidbit about the line. No matter how high the Mirage Hotel raised the odds, bets on Tyson kept coming in. With Douglas at 27-1 and Tyson at 1-27, Vaccaro said he got a bet on Tyson. It was a $54,000 bet to win $2,000.
At those odds, yeah.
He raised it then to 31-1 on Douglas. He got something like I got something like a $93,000 bet on Tyson. You would win $3,000.
Yeah. Whew. Nobody. Yeah. I don't think there was one human being in America who thought that Douglas had any chance, and that's why nobody bet on him with those odds.
Right.
Boy, oh boy.
Crazy.
That just real good stuff. And I can't recommend watching ESPN's 30 for 30 documentaries, no matter what they are, because they transcend sports and they're fantastic. Coming up next on the show, you might have missed out on this because of a glitch. We're going to tell you where you could have got gasoline in Louisiana last night for 1 cent a gallon. Stay tuned on Bayou 95.7.
Now you tell me.
Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Because of a computer glitch, last night, gasoline sold for 1 cent at a Baton Rouge gas station. And there was nothing that they could do about it until they fixed the computer glitch. So people showed up and they were getting gas for 0.01 and then 9/10.
Right.
So it's closer to 2 cents a gallon, but technically 1 cent a gallon.
I have a solution if it ever happens again. It's rather low tech. It's called orange cones that you put out to block the lanes and say, sorry, we're closed until we get this fixed.
That happened at the Circle K gas station on Highland Road in Baton Rouge. And how great that would have been if you just happened to drive by while they had a computer glitch and you could get gas for a penny or almost 2 pennies a gallon. And there was nothing that the gas station could do about it.
Orange cones.
Man, I've been filling up everything I could find. Coming up next, there's one radio station that's taking back the song, Baby It's Cold Outside, because so many radio stations are not playing it now because they in the hashtag MeToo era. How stupid is that? We'll explain coming up on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. So have you heard about I'm sure you have if you pay attention to the internet or the news. I'm sure you've heard about the controversy with a song that's, 70 years old now, called Baby It's Cold Outside. It's a Christmas song, and it used to be heard around Christmas time with all the other Christmas music. And by the way, I just wanted to let you know, here in New Orleans, if you're looking for Christmas music, our sister station, Magic 101.9, they're the place to go. Are they playing Baby It's Cold Outside?
That's a good question.
I got to find out because some, I think it was a DJ in Cleveland, Ohio, said when they played the song not that long ago, said, wait a minute, that song is sexist. I don't want to play this song on this station in Cleveland
right.
anymore, and I don't think anybody should play this song. And he got a bunch of people together, and as we sit here in the year 2018 with the hashtag MeToo movement, the song Baby It's Cold Outside is being dropped from Christmas song playlists on radio stations all over the country. How stupid is that? You know, in some of these stations that are dropping that song, Baby It's Cold Outside, they have top 40 stations that are playing songs, one by Cardi B, where she tells people that she wants people to go and do something to her, a part of her body that I can't really bring up.
Not really.
Yeah, you can't play Baby It's Cold Outside. Well, one radio station in San Francisco, they said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to put it to the listeners. We're going to ask our listeners if they want this song or not.
We're going to open the phone lines.
Well, they didn't only open the phone lines. They I guess they went on the internet. They went on their website. They went on their Facebook page. And the San Francisco radio station asked all of the people that listened to their radio station for the Christmas music. They said, should we keep Baby It's Cold Outside in the Christmas rotation? Or should we get rid of it? Brewster, how do you think they voted? Remember, this is San Francisco.
San Francisco, I'm going to say.
These are the same type of people that would probably find offense.
I'm going to say they tied an anvil around its ankle and put it into the bay.
No!
Really? They voted to bring it back.
It is staying in rotation.
You see, the skeptic in me says a lot of this is no question that there's some people who were offended by this, but I think the radio angle and the skeptic angle in me makes me think it's like a setup.
It's not a setup. This all started with one disc jockey in Cleveland.
Well, I know, and I think that's therein lies the setup. I think he had the idea. It's like, hey, let's start this, and it will mushroom out. And they'll get their call letters in search engines, and that's. Am I being too skeptical?
Well, that's how you are.
And I'm not even talking about the song itself. I'm just talking about the ginning up the.
No, I get it.
Yeah,
I'm pushed to the song itself. It was written in 1944.
And it's not even, it mentions no holiday, so it's not technically a Christmas song. It's an Academy Award winning song by Frank Lesser from the movie Neptune's Daughter.
But it plays every year around Christmas time.
Right, because it fits. I mean, there are other songs that we hear during this time of year just because of cold weather or perceived they just fit around this time. In that movie, which I have not seen, but I've seen clips, Ricardo Montalban sings it to, I believe, his then-wife or soon-to-be wife. Wasn't he married to Esther Williams?
I'm not sure.
And that's the traditional boy and girl, what would you say? The traditional version of it. But also in that movie, Red Skelton and Betty Garrett. And if you remember Betty Garrett, she was one of the later neighbors of the Bunkers on All in the Family, and she was married to the chef, played by Frank Gardenia. I think it's his name. And she sings it as if she's pursuing him and getting him to stay because, baby, it's cold outside.
You know, it's funny you brought up Ricardo Montalban. He's yes. most known as being on Fantasy Island.
Mm-hmm.
Although if he was married, it was probably one of those Hollywood arranged marriages. Because from everything I've read, Ricardo Montalban.
I've heard just the opposite.
He liked.
No, I've heard just the opposite.
Oh,
about him. Yeah.
Well, the song is supposed to be sexist because the man convinces his date in the song to stay overnight. So what? I mean, guys have been trying to do that historically. I mean, the cavemen were trying to do that.
Right.
You stay under my rock tonight? So
never heard it put that way.
I'm glad the listeners of that radio station in San Francisco voted pretty much overwhelmingly to keep the song on the playlist, because this is we're getting to the point in our country where people are just not going to say anything anymore,
right?
In fear of, it's much like the hashtag Me Too movement. Companies aren't hiring women like they used to because they're afraid. They look at them the wrong way. They say something the wrong way. You know. Now people are afraid to say anything. So people aren't just gonna stop saying anything.
Well, and a meme going around about this song crystallized it just absolutely perfectly. People who are offended by a nearly 80-year-old song apparently have not been listening to commercial radio in the last 20 years. I mean, think about the things that are in our music today, like you mentioned Cardi B.
Yeah.
But yet, this song is, the intent of this song is nefarious. And fits in with the hashtag Me Too movement.
I can't.
But yet there are things that are on other stations 24 hours a day that are much more explicit. Disrespect to women, violence to police officers.
Have they listened to any hip hop?
Well, I didn't want to come right out and say it, but sure.
Anyways, I got to find out if, like I mentioned when we started talking about this, mm-hmm. because if you want Christmas music in the New Orleans metropolitan region, there's only one radio station. And it's our sister station, Magic 101.9. And the great programming mind behind that, Steve, I can't imagine him buckling to this kind of pressure. I guarantee you, I'll bet you right now that they're playing that song over there.
Do you owe him money or something? What's going on here?
I bet you they're playing that song over there right now.
Yeah, you just said that.
On Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. So have you been paying attention to the insight? We've landed on Mars, and InSight has just taken its first selfie on Mars. By the way, have you seen some of the memes?
Yes.
That have come out about the Mars landing.
I was going to actually do one because I fancy myself a bit of a serial memer. But the two that I saw were so good. It's like I can't top this.
I don't know if I saw one like this, but this is the first one that I thought of, Brewster. The first picture from Mars when it came down, it was that place on Veterans,
the Egg Roll House.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's the only thing besides cockroaches that'll survive a nuclear war is the Egg Roll House up there.
And now even it won't survive because it's going away.
But this is fascinating how we're landing things on Mars. Mars! And now we're seeing the photos. Meanwhile, in the NFL, I mean, we have that technology, yet you watch a National Football League, an NFL game.
I know where you're going with this.
And to find out if the guy got a first down or not, they have two guys with chains and poles standing there. When every field, you could go before every game and just program the field to tell us when the next 10 yards is going to be.
And, the TV networks for a long time have already figured that out because they keep playing with the Chiron or
that yellow line.
Yeah, the superimposed. I mean, each individual network does it like a little bit differently. Some have the logo. Some have various shapes of like the I call it the Ouija board pointer. Why can't they agree to use those?
Because the yellow lines, and even though they always say it's not official, they are always right.
Right.
Even if it's the nose of a football over the beginning of that yellow line, it's always right. Always. When we're sending pictures back from Mars, and we still get first downs with
chain. I think they're still using chains that were manufactured when George Halas was still owner of the Bears.
Yeah, right. Coming up next, it's our commercial free ride. Hang out with us on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. So at the end of every year, there's always the blank of the year. I remember it was a week or two ago on this show where we told you, because every year the Oxford Dictionary says this is the word of the year, and we talked about it this year. The word was toxic.
Mm-hmm.
And I think some of that had to do with Donald Trump.
And I think Time Magazine, have they announced their person of the year? I know they put out a teaser, like the top 10 finalists. Who was it?
It was basically journalists from all over the world, journalists that are being locked up. Again, that's Donald Trump related, because Donald Trump with the fake news and...
Well, I don't understand how that's related. If it's journalists who are you talking about journalists being held captive?
Some are journalists. The guy.
Oh, so it's all
the guy who Saudi Arabia killed in their consulate in Turkey.
So everything from that to Jim Acosta, at the White House briefing room.
Yeah, it's
okay.
all
journalists,
and they have four or five different covers.
I got it.
With different journalists
I got
on
it.
Them.
Did they even look at my audition tape?
And then when it comes to music, you know, rock and roll and top 40 and hip hop, they'll all have the song of the year, that kind of thing. Well, every year at the end of the year, Google releases what was put into the Google search engine the most.
Yeah.
What the people in the world searched for most. You have any guess in the year 2018?
I would certainly say things related to Me Too, the Me Too movement.
Not in the top five.
Really?
This is actually kind of a lame...
I thought we were doing top 10.
I've only got five in front of me.
Okay.
This is kind of a lame list.
So not related to Harvey Weinstein or any of that?
That's Frankenstein.
No, that might have been towards the end of last year, because that's when that was really going. But no Me Too, no Harvey Weinstein.
But this is all... This is all the year, the calendar year 2018.
Google's top trending searches for 2018.
I don't know. Tell me.
World Cup was number one.
See, you know, any day soccer is going to take over the world, not just Europe.
Well,
but
it still was the most searched for thing in the Google box. World Cup.
Okay.
Second, this was interesting.
I know this one. I know number two.
You do?
Yes. Does pineapple go on a pizza, yay or nay?
No, I just missed out on the top five.
All right.
How about Hurricane Florence? That's the one that hit the Carolinas, North Carolina.
Okay.
And the reason that's surprising is because, you know, Europe, Asia, we're talking about all over the world.
Right.
And then rounding out the top five were three people, and they all have one thing in common.
Porn.
They all died.
Oh.
Mac Miller. He's a musician.
Okay.
I think he OD'd. Kate Spade.
Right.
She was she designed handbags.
Right.
And Anthony Bourdain.
How about that?
So pretty lame, and then dead for the most trending searches in 2018, according to Google. And that's just about going to do it for the show. Thank you for listening.
For today. We'll be back tomorrow.
Yeah. God's willing.
And the creek don't rise.
Ginty is next. Ginty! He's got your music notes at noon. And like Bruce just said, we'll chat again tomorrow morning around 5:30 here on Bayou 95.7.